All right, Galatians 6 tonight. Now look at this next phrase. I promise you we won't be as detailed in the study as we go down through chapter 6, but there's just some really good information here and some good things to think about and some stuff that you don't normally hear preached on. And so I think it'll help us and sharpen us as we look at these particular phrases in chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." And that'll be our topic for the message tonight. Ye which are spiritual. The Bible says, "Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, again, we love you. Thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for these folks coming back out on a Sunday night. Lord, we sure love you and appreciate your kindness to us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help this time to be profitable, Lord, to your church. I pray that you'll speak through me tonight to the heart of your people, that the preaching would be mixed with faith, that it might be profitable in our lives, and that we might serve you better and please you more in the days that you give us on the earth. Lord, please do help us to be mindful of one another and considerate of one another, and especially the burdens and the things that folks have to bear. Lord, I pray that we would love each other and get in the yoke with them, Lord, and go the second mile with them and just help our church family out and be a blessing to each other, Lord. We thank you for loving us. And again, pray that tonight will be beneficial to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Ye which are spiritual. That word spiritual shows up a lot in the Bible. And I began thinking about this. I got a day out to fish up on the Blue Ridge. Got to fish a new creek there on Friday. It's called the Hughes River, Brother Richard. Hughes River. We're bound to have some land claim to it up there somewhere. But anyway, I was thinking about this message while I was out there. And what is a spiritual person? What is that? What's it characterized by? How do we know if somebody's spiritual or not spiritual? And began thinking through all that, and I didn't really get any definitive answers. And then the Lord said, dummy, I've told you what it is in my word. I said, yes, Lord, I understand that, but where? And he said, well, what's the opposite of it? So the opposite of spiritual would be not spiritual. Yeah, you're right, carnal. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and so we'll sort of define what spirituality is by seeing what it's not. And boy, that's a helpful thing to do in the Bible sometimes. So ye which are spiritual. So as we saw this morning, maybe I could say it this way. So we saw this morning, everybody in the church is susceptible at any moment, at any time of any day, to be overtaken by a fault. It's level playing field. But when that happens, you can't get help from just anybody. Okay? The Lord said you need to be helped by people. When the fault overtakes us, we need to seek out help from spiritual people. Now that is opposite of what the world does. The world seeks out help from carnal people, from people that think like they do. But when the fault overtakes us as born-again believers, God said the spiritual people are the ones that can help us, not the carnal ones. Okay? I think too many times in our churches, people get in trouble, they have an issue come up in life, and they'll go to the carnal people in the church and try to ask for help. And the spiritual ones, they just pass right by them as they go talk to the carnal Charlie and carnal Karen, not Karen, no, carnal, let's see, what's the word? I need to see. No, we got one of them too, amen. But to wrap that statement up, go look for help from spiritual people, okay? And so here's going to tell you who those folks are in the church. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Boy, I'm glad I don't have that in me. Amen. I've got the spirit of God in me tonight. So do you if you're saved. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And he's not necessarily talking about money. That would be a carnal thing, right? He's not talking about food and clothing. Those would be carnal things. 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So let's make some comments here real quick, and then we'll get the rest of this. So in verse 13, the Bible says that there are two kinds of wisdom, right? We understand that. There's the wisdom which the world teaches, or man teaches, and there's the wisdom which comes from the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, I want the Holy Ghost's wisdom. Okay, I'm not interested in man's wisdom. I'm not interested in the world's wisdom. And if you'll hold your place right there, come over to James chapter 3. I know you know these verses, but it's good to remind ourselves of these things and look at them in depth and in detail once again. James chapter 3 sets those wisdoms in contrast again. James chapter 3, and if you look at verse 15 when you get there, James chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. All right, what is that kind of wisdom? 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You remember over there in Proverbs, the Lord said not to get around angry people, because why? They'll make you angry. Right? That we're not to learn the way of the heathen, but that we're to follow God's way. Remember all that? And so when you and I have a fault overtake us as a church member, we are not to look out help and counsel and wisdom from people in the church that have and exhibit the wisdom of the earth, which is bitter envying and strife and lying. All they're going to do is make you like them. You understand? So we're to look out help from those people who are spiritual people, meaning that they operate according to God's wisdom, that they're in touch with God's wisdom, that the Holy Ghost of God can speak through them God's wisdom. And he goes on to say, verse 16 here, it says, where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. So it sounds like God's wisdom tries to make peace, not strife. God's wisdom tries to live peaceably with all men, not exercise vengeance. Because when the faults overtake us, it's easy to get in the flesh. Okay? And he goes on to say, but the wisdom is from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Amen. And easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You and I need help and counsel from people in the church that are not going to be partial. Amen. And they're not hypocrites. Amen. I heard myself on the radio. That's a scary thing, by the way. I heard myself on the radio a couple weeks ago, and it was probably from like 3 or 4 years ago is how far back it was, that preaching in Psalms. You can come back to 1 Corinthians 2. And I heard myself say this, and it was something that Valerie's dad had always taught at Colonial during the adult Sunday school class, and I'll repeat it here tonight because you probably don't remember it. Maybe you remember some of it, but it reminded me. It was such a good fresh drink of water when I heard this. But Brother Rick used to always teach this. He said, when you have a big decision coming up, whether it's a job, marriage, ministry opportunity, whatever it might be, maybe even a vehicle purchase, a house purchase, whatever it might be. He said, when you've got a big decision coming up, he said, you need to seek advice from at least two people. He said, the first is natural. He said, we always go and talk to the people that we think are probably going to agree with us. He said, so go talk to them. He said, but then once you talk to that person that you think is likely to agree with you, and they do, he said, pick out somebody in the church that you think will probably not agree with you and go ask them. And I think that's tremendous advice. Because, and what he was going at was, you want to go to somebody and get counsel from people that are going to help you to see sort of all sides of the circumstance and situation. But you want to talk to people that are full of God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. The last thing you want to do is get bad advice and take it. That's just going to complicate the matter. Okay? So the Lord says here that about these spiritual people that they operate according to the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And they compare into verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 2 spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? Verse 14, then in contrast, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Say, preacher, how do I know who's spiritual in the church and who's carnal? Well, the people that think the things of God are foolishness, and the standards and the doctrines and the music and all the things that we do around here that try to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the carnal Christian makes fun of that. Say, how do you know? I grew up with some of them here. And they're not in church tonight. They have no desire for the things of God tonight. Because as we sang the songs and Brother Delbert went on one of his amen sprees, they laughed at him. And when the preaching came forth about abstaining from the worldly lusts and things that we shouldn't be involved in, they mocked it. And I can promise you, I haven't gone and asked any of those folks advice in my life. I'm not interested in what they have to say. So the Bible says that the natural man, the carnal man, thinks the things of God are just foolishness. Which means you don't need to be asking those people any sort of advice. Whether they go to this church or not. There's a lot of folks out there that say they're saved. They'll give you really bad advice. And then he goes on to say, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means this. A spiritual man, a spiritual woman judges things by the Bible. They judge things according to how the Holy Spirit of God leads them. Okay? So when they make a decision, a spiritual decision based on prayer and scripture, and somebody disagrees with them, they could really care less. They're judged of no man. It makes no difference to them because they've got God's word on it and they've got God's answered prayer on it. Does that make sense? Okay? 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so when these faults overtake us and we need counsel and we want to talk to somebody about it, we need to seek out those in the church that are spiritual, not carnal. Those that operate according to the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, not the wisdom of man and of the world. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And he says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And if you remember, if you'll come with me, okay, humor me once again, Hebrews chapter 5, the Lord tells you who in the church can handle that strong meat of the word. The Lord tells you who in the church is mature. The Lord tells you who in the church is spiritual. It's those that can handle and can give out and teach and process themselves the meat of the Word of God. And in chapter 5, you'll see here verse 12, it says there at the end, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. And what are they discerning? Those are spiritual things, right? That's not carnal stuff. That's spiritual things. Okay, so when you're seeking out counsel, when the faults of life overtake us, we need to seek out counsel from people that know how to use that Bible in godly wisdom. And maybe even in their own life have gone through something similar or the same situation and came out still loving God and still praising God. That's who you want to talk to. You don't want to talk to somebody that got overtaken by a fault and then they got bitter toward God. That all that'll do is tank your life, tank my life, okay? All right, so he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and the Lord tells us that spiritual people in the church are mature. They operate in God's wisdom. They judge all things. Hallelujah. They compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. And then here's what I want you to get. When a brother or sister is overtaken in a fault, the spiritual saint is instantly more concerned about the spiritual well-being of their brother or sister than they are about the worldly things and the earthly things of their life. It would be something like this. Someone, and we've had this, and so it's not to point out Brother Greg or Brother Adam or Miss Rose or anybody like that, but I'll just use it for example. Somebody in the church is diagnosed with cancer. And please, let me say this, please, if you had the carnal thought first, I still love you. Okay, I do. I'm not throwing off on you. But God wants us to be spiritually minded. So the cancer diagnosis comes, if the first thought is, oh man, how much money are they going to have to spend? How bad that chemo is going to be? They're going to have to take off work. If it's all about carnal things first, we need to mature a bit. When the cancer diagnosis comes, the spiritual person says, oh God, please strengthen their faith through that trial. Oh God, please help their family to stay with them and to be right there with them and to support. Oh God, help our church to minister to them and to have eyes on that we can see what they might need and how to be a blessing to them. That's the spiritual mindset. I'll give you another one. let's say that someone in the church, this hasn't happened as far as I know, so that's good. Let's say someone, don't let it happen now. Say someone in the church loses their job over a fault. Remember that fault this morning? It's an error, a blunder. Remember that? And the fault was, they were always late. And they come to church on Wednesday night, prayer request time, pastor, would you pray for me? And church, pray for me. I lost my job today. I was really struggling. Nobody would say this, but wouldn't it be nice if they would? I was just really struggling getting to work on time, and boss told me if it happened one more time, that I was done, and it happened this morning, they fired me. Now the carnal mind says, good, you got what you deserved. Get up out of bed. The spiritual mind says, Lord, would you help them to learn some discipline? God, would you provide for them, Lord, and keep their faith in you strong? And Lord, help them to learn some diligence and learn from this. It's two totally different mindsets. And the Lord wants us to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. The carnal mind is concerned with physical aspects when we're overtaken by faults or someone in the church is. The spiritual mind is immediately concerned with the spiritual aspects of that person's life. Come with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Levi, did you read those letters Wednesday night? You got two more for tonight? You're a good man. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we're going to see the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The Bible says this in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To remind you again, we're still talking about what's the difference between spiritual and carnal people. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that phrase is shown up twice now in what, four short verses. And so we go ahead and deduce that spiritual people are walking in the Spirit. Carnal people are walking according to the lust of the flesh. And we just spent 3 months studying, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay, so a spiritually minded person, they're going to obey the Holy Ghost. A carnally minded person, they're going to obey what the flesh wants to do. Okay? 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and I don't know about you, man, but being overtaken in a fault, you're probably going to need some peace. You're going to need some comfort. You're going to need some help with that encouragement. And when you know that you have responded to God in prayer and that the brethren are coming around you and the sistren, is that even a word? Man, I know it's what holds water, but we're talking about the saints, amen. But when the church has gathered around you and they're praying for you, listen, and they're praying spiritual prayer requests for you, there is a peace that can be there that the Holy Spirit can give you, that now that you're responding to this fault overtaking in the right way. Look with me now in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Well, that'd be a bad place to be when you're in trouble. Amen. Don't want to be on God's bad side. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so you can tell a carnal believer, because they will not subject themselves, listen now, to the law of God. Say, oh, preacher, we're under grace. We're under the law. I'm not talking about obtaining salvation. I'm not even talking about keeping salvation. I'm talking about walking in a way that pleases God. And the carnal believer says, I got liberty. I don't have to do that stuff. But the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, brings himself under subjection and submission to the Word of God voluntarily. And that's who can help you when you're overtaken by a fault. All right, Ephesians 5. Let's get another characteristic difference between spiritual and carnal people. Ephesians chapter 5. Ain't the Bible a great book? Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This would be good stuff to hide in your heart. Ephesians 5, and grab Colossians 3. I know it's just a page or two over there, but we'll read them both. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. Concerning music, you'll be able to find out who in the church is spiritual and who's carnal concerning the music they listen to, the music they like. Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, if you come over to Colossians 3, in verse 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There's that one another again. Amen. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it's a very, very simple point on this one tonight. The carnal believer likes fleshly music. The carnal believer likes the beat, the melody, the lyrics, perhaps even gets caught up in the idolatry of the world's music. And all those principles can still be applied to what's loosely termed, quote unquote, Christian music today. Okay? But the spiritual believer likes godly music. The spiritual believer wants music that has a harmony and a melody and lyrics that point the listener to Jesus and to God and the things of God. And so there's a lifestyle that comes with both of those. I won't get into that tonight. But that's another good litmus test, if you will, another good characteristic. between carnal and spiritual people. Okay? Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. So I think you've probably seen enough now the characteristics between spiritual and carnal people. And the Lord says in Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So it's the spiritual people in the church that are going to help those overtaken by a fault. The carnal people, and listen, and I'm going to say this again, as I said earlier, it may not be in this church. It may be other people in other churches that say they're saved, but they give you bad advice. Okay? So you got to weigh that thing out. If someone says they're saved and they're a saint, okay, are they carnal or are they spiritual? And if they're not spiritual, they're not going to help you. Boy, that would have been a really good spot for an amen. I still didn't get one, so we're going to move on. Colossians 1:7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, so we're going to talk about, in the next message or two, about bearing one another's burdens and the different ways to do that. Prayer, as you might guess, is one of the big ways you're going to help bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? And so when we pray for our brothers and sisters who've been overtaken by a fault and need God's help, here's the kind of prayer. This is a spiritual prayer. This is not a carnal prayer. This is a spiritual prayer that Paul's praying for these folks. Look what it says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with money. That you might desire, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and what kind of understanding? That is a spiritual prayer. That is asking God to help these people in spiritual matters, not carnal matters. Okay? Look, next verse, 11. Strengthened with all might. That's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's they've got to stand against the wiles of the devil. Maybe it's the devil, listen, that's stirred up an adversary. Or maybe it's even God that's stirred up an adversary. And that is trying to overtake a believer in a fault. And God says, you're going to need to be strengthened to be able to stand in those evil days. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not that we're going to stand in your power, but we're going to stand in God's power. Amen. That's a good spiritual prayer request. According to His glorious power, unto all patience, Lord, give them patience. I don't answer, but when's the last time you prayed that for anybody? God, help them to be patient. The next one, Lord, help them to be long-suffering. We just don't pray like that, do we? I'm telling you guys, too many, and listen, we'll pray for people's health. We're going to continue to pray for people's health. But I think we get so carnal in our requests and in our prayers, and we miss the spiritual boat. If all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, then we must agree that sometimes sicknesses are purposed by God, ordained by God to help us, a saint, become more like Jesus. A trial, listen, being overtaken in a fault may be God's way of perfecting you or me in our lives to make us more like Jesus. So instead of praying, Lord, take away the ailment, Lord, take away the situation, Lord, just clear the slate, and that's fine to pray that, but we also ought to pray, Lord, if you need to work in their life, we pray that they'll be patient and long-suffering with you. Just a different way of praying. And he goes on to say, and Lord, that you'd strengthen them. I have prayed this. I will tell you this. I have prayed this for some of you in this room tonight, that when things popped up in your life, I prayed that God would strengthen your faith through that circumstance. Because if we can go through those things and our faith gets strengthened in God, and we maybe even are recipients of His mercy and His grace and His kindness, All that's going to do is cause our hearts to be more endeared to our Heavenly Father. And there's some I've prayed, Lord, please, Lord, please show your hand strong in their life so they know you love them. So they know you care for them. And Lord, so they'll stick right in there with you no matter what comes down the line in their life. Verse 11, with what? And Lord, help them to be happy about it. No, I'm just, that's not what it is, but it would be a good prayer request that as a brother or sister struggles through something and say, Lord, would you produce the joy in their heart that the Holy Spirit wants to produce? Pray they let you do that, Lord. There's few things in this life that are more encouraging than knowing what a brother or sister is going through, difficult time, tough situation, and watching them smile. And watching them come to church with joy and sing the hymns and raise their hands in exultation and worship to God. I tell you what, that encourages my heart. Because I know God's working in your heart when that happens. That's a blessing. The concern is when trouble comes and be overtaken by a fault or a health situation, and all of a sudden they're down and out and they're out of church and they don't want to talk to anybody, and they just go into this I call it the Elijah cave. Amen. That's concerning. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In light, that wasn't in the notes, but that's a good verse, ain't it? Amen. All right, chapter 4. Okay, so Paul here in chapter 1 of Colossians is praying a spiritual prayer for these people. Okay, Colossians 4. And he mentioned in chapter 1, he mentioned a man by the name of Epaphras. Okay, when he ends the epistle, look what he says about Epaphras. Chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 12, the Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, boy, what a title, saluteth you, always laboring, watch now, fervently. What kind of fervent prayer availeth much? Prayer of a righteous man, right? Got to be a spiritual man. 12, or a spiritual lady for that matter. Saluteth you, always laboring fervently in prayers, watch now, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras is praying for the church at Colossae. Listen, that they will be perfected and God will complete them and they will stand and carry out the will of God that they has for that church. What a great prayer. It wasn't, God, would you add 50 people to their church this year? It wasn't, God, would you help their finances? It wasn't, Lord, would you give them a new building? It was a spiritual prayer. You understand that? And he was laboring, the Bible says, fervently in prayers, helping to bear that burden for that church to do right and do what God asked him to do. What a blessing. Okay, so tonight, just ask yourself this. Don't answer out loud. Just ask yourself this. Are we praying spiritual prayers for the church? Or are we praying carnal prayers? Are we praying spiritual prayers for people in the church? Or are we praying carnal prayers? When trouble comes and saints are overtaken by a fault, is our first response spiritual or is it carnal? And the Lord wants to mature every one of us in the church so that we are spiritually minded and that we can minister to the body as God directs. And so Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll begin looking at the ways of bearing one another's burdens in the church when overtaken by a fault. All right, let's pray tonight. Father, thank you.